Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in Philippians chapter 1, talking about this prayer that Paul gives about the brethren in Philippi. We discussed verses 9 and 10 already that talk about what he's wanting for the Philippian church, what he wants them to excel and abound more in. Verse 11 more has to do about why that he wants them to do that. And so today we're going to be talking in chapter 1, verse 11, that says this: having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Okay, so being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. So righteousness we sometimes define as doing what is right. It's really the idea of being God approved, being accepted by God, doing what he wants us to do, that kind of thing. So how can we do that? Well, you mentioned it at the end of the last episode, but the idea of focusing on Jesus, you know, when he talked about earlier up here to approve what is excellent. Well, how do we do that? We focus on Jesus, and we try to have the attitude that he had and share that kind of idea. We're ready for when he returns, but until then, we're living our life in a way that brings honor and glory to him, in a way that represents him and that name that we wear well, and that we understand that balance that we talked about last time about knowing the truth and having the kind of love that we should with each other, doing it his way. He's who defines what, you know. Sometimes when there is division or there's problems or there's fighting, or sometimes it's, we would call it maybe righteous indignation or whatever. Mm-hmm. What I'm standing for the truth. Well, sometimes the truth that I'm standing for is not God's truth, but it's my truth. It's my opinion. It's my, you know. So,
and we make a lot bigger, stronger thing out of it than God does a lot of times.
That's right. And, you know, we have to understand that, you know, we don't have the right to do that. We can have our opinions and we can have our druthers and that type of thing. There may be things that makes us uncomfortable, you know, or we don't personally like, but that doesn't mean that they're wrong. And so we need to make sure that there may be some things that, you know, if God has legislated one way or the other and people are going to be hard-headed about, that we have to, you know, shake the dust off our feet and move on. But we need to understand that that fruit of righteousness, filled with the fruit of righteousness, means that we're doing it his way, not ours.
Well, and, you know, that kind of goes the other way, too. And Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians, how that, you know, just because I do have the right to something doesn't mean that I've got to bullheadedly exercise that right, you know, that I'm also going to be compassionate about the people that maybe that's a conscience issue, or maybe that they're not there yet with their faith and comfortable in some of those kind of scenarios. And so there's give and take with all of that, but a huge part of that goes back to that discernment idea of knowing, okay, just because it's appropriate, does that mean it's appropriate right now? You know, does that mean that, you know, we need to be very dogmatic about this in this setting? Well, maybe that's not the case, that we have to kind of discern, okay, well, I'm going to recognize, you know, and know where my brothers and sisters are at on this and kind of help, you know, decide some things in that way as well.
Yeah, because my experience has been that most of the time when congregations divide or individual relationships divide, it's not really usually about what the Bible says, but what I think. And so there's that side of it that you need to make sure the fruit of righteousness, what God says is right. You know, a lot of times it's, well, I've got to make this stand because of truth or because of righteousness or whatever it might be. But it's not really truth or righteousness. It's about my opinion, and we need to make sure that is. And then the other thing here is to the glory and praise of God. A lot of times division is caused because I'm worried about the praise and glory of me.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say it that way, you know, necessarily, but I want my way, or I want my opinion, or I want to be large and in charge, or whatever.
Because my way is always the best way.
That's right. and you know, he started all of this in verse 2, started this letter talking about the grace and peace that comes from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, he's talked about God and Jesus to begin this, and then now he's going to talk about Jesus and the righteousness that comes through Jesus and the praise and glory of God that he deserves. That's who we have to realize is sitting on the throne. That's who's large and in charge. And that's who we need to worry about pleasing, not ourselves.
Yeah, and of course he says, which comes through Jesus Christ. And we've already talked about Jesus being used as an example throughout the book. We're big fans of The Chosen, you know, and one of the episodes we just watched recently was that scene of him in the garden before his arrest. And I don't know really before watching that that I've really thought that much about the humanity of Jesus and what a struggle that might have been for him. But, you know, we see an example there of him in the garden of, you know, he didn't want to go through the crucifixion and everything that went on that weekend. He didn't want to go through all that. He knew it was coming, and he asked the Lord multiple times for that to be taken away from him. But he went through something that he didn't want to, because that was what the Lord was calling him to do, you know? Sometimes that means doing uncomfortable things and not having our way all the time. And certainly that was something that Jesus accepted. You never see him complaining after the garden. You never see him question the Lord again after the garden. And so seeing that maybe that was a temptation or a struggle for him, but he still allowed himself to submit to the Lord and his plan for his life is something that that, you know, is a heavy emphasis here.
Yeah, and all this goes back to, you sweep all this up in a pile, all this goes back up to the main idea of this book, of others before self. So how does Paul begin all this? In a prayer. We talked about from the very beginning of this podcast how prayers are one of those four P's that helps us to understand what a book's about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you and make requests with joy because of the relationship we have. You've been encouragers of me and supporters of me. I know that God is not finished with you and he's working on you. I love you because of the way that you've been involved in the spreading of the gospel and the defense of the gospel and all that. But I need you to understand that God's not through working on you, that you need to grow in love. You need to grow in knowledge and discernment. You need to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. And all of this points back, that this is all designed, our following Jesus in such a way that to the glory and praise of God, so that no one in the Philippian church would be the one that at the end of the day would say, look how awesome they are. No preacher would say, look how awesome they are, but that they would look at the unity and the love and the fellowship and everything within a congregation and say, you know, that says a lot about the God that they serve, which is what Jesus told them, the disciples in that upper room. By this, all men will know you're my disciples. How? That you have love for one another.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's going to be a heavy emphasis here, and it's something that through Christ that we see is something that we need, but something for sure that he needs them to grow in as well as they imitate Christ on a daily basis. So that kind of wraps up this section on this prayer that he gives in verses 9 through 11 for the Philippian church. We'll get more into his message and his letter to them next time on the next episode tomorrow. But we're grateful for your participation here, that you're listening in on our conversation as we discuss the scriptures here, that it would inspire you to dive deeper into God's word in your own time. And until then, we'll see you next time on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.